I mean, there's a fundamental difference between a road course and an oval. We all understand that, strategically, in almost every way possible. Would it be easier for you guys? Would it make any difference if you had oval races leading to Indy? If you had a run-up of oval races, even one before? Or is Indy so unique, there isn't another oval track out there that can assimilate what you're going to go through there?
Yeah, I think Indy is unique. I think it requires, you know, maybe a different setup and a different car, but also the track is so changing all the time that, you know, you can't expect to show up there after being okay on an oval and think that, you know, you have it figured it out. And also the fact that, you know, like James says, we're there for a week. So, yeah. You know, you have time to get used to it, you know, before, time comes before qualifying. So I would say it always helped, but I don't think it's crucial.
What does pole position matter? How does it matter at this event?
You've been on pole, man. You tell me.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's bragging rights.
It's $100,000.
It's 100 grand. And it's the pole position that you can enjoy the longest because you have a week after.
Yeah.
And I think it's a big pride for the guys because it's when the car will go is fastest on its own. So for the guys, it's important because, you know, it's preparation of the car. And everybody knows that, you know, on an oval, you know, like a lot has to do with the car. So they feel that, you know, it's as much their pole as the driver's pole. More on an oval, I would say, than on a street course and road course. And, you know, it's cool. It's exciting. And I think it's also rewarding. I mean, I don't know for other guys that have been on pole, but I think, you know, when you know you have it, and you have to risk it all and you have to put it on the line, the car's not easy to drive, you know, and the car won't be easy to drive for anybody, but, you know, like even if you're 20th or you're first, but I think when you have the car to make it and you do those four perfect laps, it's really rewarding.
How different is the setup for qualifying and race day?
Quite a bit. It's largely aerodynamic. You put a lot more downforce, obviously, on for the race. In qualifying, you trim it to the point of almost 1 pound of downforce for 1 pound that the car weighs. I mean, you're literally running on the absolute ragged edge, to the point where sometimes you overstep it and the car actually goes slower because it's sliding. It doesn't have enough grip. And in the race, you're obviously much more conservative on downforce. You put a lot on because you're going to be running in dirty air, so you need to have that extra downforce. Mechanically, there's a couple little changes that you make, but the biggest thing is what you're doing with the wings.
So it occurred to me that if I'm out there and I qualify, I've got the top qualifying time, so I get the pole. I have created a car that has gone faster than anybody else's, given the circumstances, I understand. But still, is there a danger of thinking, I don't want to tinker too much with it? Obviously, it's good. Maybe I don't want to tinker too much. Or are they two entirely different events?
Yeah.
Qualifying day and race day.
They're different.
They're very different. Two different events.
Yeah. I mean, without, you know, like, telling our secrets and setups and stuff like
that.
But
that's fine. Come on.
But, you know, like mechanically, you know, springs, toes, all that stuff, you know, like you're pushing the limit, right? You're making things turn on its own. You know, you're trying to free up the car so the car doesn't scrub speed and the RPM stays up. It's just not a comfortable car to drive in traffic. It's impossible to drive. You know, there's no way nobody would go with a qualifying car in the race. I don't know anybody that would do that, number one. And, you know...
too dangerous?
Yeah, it's just like...
Out of control.
Out of control. It's just, you have to be alone. No dirty air, no traffic, gotcha. Nothing like
that.
And
you would need new tires the whole time.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, when we trim, right? I mean, I have a rule of thumb because, like, obviously my car in qualifying sim is not only trim but is also very free, so it only survives the goodness of the tires that they give me for four laps. So when I'm trim, I never do two runs on the same set of tires, never.
So you get four laps in qualifying.
If I do four laps, I go out there, try four laps, I'm coming back in. If I want to make a change on the car, and I'm not sure, and they want to keep me on that same tires, I put the wing back in. I'm not going back out with the same wing.
With the same thing.
You need that mechanical grip from the tire when it's brand new because you've removed so much of the aerodynamic grip.
How many laps can you get on tires at Indy?
Well, that's been a hot topic of conversation this past year because normally the track's very abrasive. And, you know, you start kind of losing it around late 20s. And this year we've actually seen much lower wear. And I know one car that did, it was over 40 laps on a set of tires in practice, which is quite rare. So this year it'll be interesting to see how the tires sort of hold up over a stint. And we might not have guys pitting for tires before their fuel's out like we've had before. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Temperature and weather is going to be a factor in that. But yeah, they try to make the tires as close to a fuel stint as possible, which is around 30 laps-ish.
Yeah, last year was that 30 laps. Yeah.
How many different brands of tires would
just Firestone.
There's just Firestone. So everybody's running on the same rubber.
Right.
Essentially. Wow. So is there a specific reason why one driver could get 35 laps out of a set of tires and somebody else can't get 25?
Yeah, the way the car is set up, the way the car manages the tire wear, and if someone, runs lighter downforce to get more speed out of the car, he'll be very quick, but he'll be harder on his tires. So he'll be very quick for 10 laps, he could be very quick for 15 laps, but the less downforce you run, the harder you're asking from the tire, and then at some point, 15 and up, the car will become less stable. So those things will change the tire wear, but you don't know until you get to race day and you realize what other people are running.
You can tell, though, when your tires are starting to go.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the first sign? For guys who've never been in a race car, I'm driving my road car. I don't know when my tires are going unless I look at them and I see there's not much tread left. So what's the first thing you feel?
So let's put it this way. Let's say you're in your road car and you've got a hot car, rear-wheel drive, good chunk of horsepower.
Yeah,
and
I
you
got
like
that.
You like blasting off from stop signs.
Yeah, I do that too.
And you can lay your foot down, the thing takes off and goes. And then after 10, 15,000 kilometers, all of a sudden when you hammer it, you get a little bit of wheel spin, which you didn't get before.
Sure.
So that's a sign of a lack of grip. It's similar in a race car. So the car will have a certain balance through the corner. Could be perfect, could be a little bit of understeer, a little bit of oversteer, and it normally stays like that for a little while, and then when the tires really start falling off, whatever that problem is just starts getting exponentially worse. So if your car's a bit loose in the rear and you've kind of just been managing it, it's going to start getting more and more and more as the rubber wears.
Can you tell where the wear is too? Can you tell if it's rear tires, inside tires, outside tires?
You can usually tell. You can tell front to rear. And depending on the kind of track, you can sometimes tell left or right as well. The biggest thing is knowing front or rear, because then you can make adjustments, whether it's to wing or tire pressure during a pit stop, to try and help that. And there's also a lot you can do just as a driver.
Yeah.
In
and the
how
team
you place
too.
The, car.
the team will see. They have some telemetry, so they
can monitor tire wear.
No, they can monitor tire pressure.
Oh, okay.
So if you complain of a certain balance, like James was saying. If your car is a bit nervous in the back or a bit understeer, so they will see the trend of tire pressure. So understeer, the right front will come up higher, or oversteer, the right rear will come up higher. So to rebalance the car, if you can't balance it yourself with the tools you have available in the car, like weight jacker and bars, the team will probably make a tire pressure adjustment on your next stop. And if it's like over the top, they could take wing off, to rebalance a loose car, or put wing in for rebalancing an understeery car. You have 500 miles to...
Well, I was going to say, that's... You got a lot of pit stops.
Yeah. And that's where... That's another thing, things could go wrong. In the pits, we've seen it year after year after year. There's always something happening.
I've done it.
What'd you do?
Last year, we were running top five... Even fourth or something, came in for the final stop, and I
at Indy?
Overshot my box.
Crew well, that's not
pushed me back, and I lost tons of spots. And it was the last stint, so I didn't have as much time to make up for it. I had to race, and I got back up to six, but we probably could have been a bit higher.
this is the granddaddy. Is this the one you want to win?
Oh, yeah.
More than anything?
This is the one everybody wants to win more than anything.
Yeah. Financial remuneration, greater.
By a significant factor.
Yeah. But also, it's like the major championship. It is the...
I've heard drivers, literally, saying, for real, no joke, they would give up being the IndyCar season champion for winning the Indy 500.
Oh, yeah. I think most guys would.
So it's just...
It's a badge of honor you wear for your entire life, right?
It'll change your life. It'll change your career, change your life.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
From that day on, you're introduced as Indy 500 winner, so-and-so.
Yeah, forever.
It's basically immortality, in a sense. That's what we're racing for.
You guys are in the upper third on the grid. You happy with where you're going to start? I mean, you always like to be number one, I suppose.
Yeah, you want to be up front, but, Dario won the race from 17th last year, so we have as much work to do as he did, I guess.
Yeah.
But no, it's all about the race. It's all about 500 miles. The biggest thing about starting up front is you can avoid some of the mess early, some of the jockeying for position that's going to happen in the midfield and the back of the field. And if you're up front, you're up there with a bunch of professionals and guys that know it's a long race, and they're going to be patient early and take care of each other, because you take care of guys early in the race, they'll take care of you, and that way there's not going to be any revenge sought in the final part of the race.
Yeah.
Tags, you were the fastest of all the Honda guys. Particular reason? Other than your tremendous driving skill?
Well, I mean, I think, you need a pretty good team, an engineer that, just as get stubborn, he doesn't want to give up. And, at some point, during the week, it was pretty clear to know the Chevys were strong and they had an advantage. And you could just run, and you can just say, "Oh, this is what I can do." And
yeah.
But we got pretty creative, and we just said we have to do something. And throughout that experience, we found something that worked, and I was willing to apply it in qualifying, and we just did it. And obviously, the car was capable of doing it, but. I mean, you need an engineer that's willing to go outside the box to try to get, a bit more.
Well, listen, both of you, best of luck, on Sunday, and, safe drive.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk to you soon. And hopefully, next time we talk, maybe one of you will be introducing as the, Indy 500 champion.
That'd be great.
That'd be cool. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.